Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he is back, Lieutenant Dave Smith, a.k.a. J.D. Buck Savage. And, you know, we usually have his better half on the show, Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, but she's let him out today. So thanks for being back on the show, Lieutenant. Appreciate it. And also, we have a former officer and current attorney, Vaughn Kleem, with Force Science. So thanks so much for being back on the show. We appreciate it, Vaughn. We're going to have you're going to get a workout. Both you guys are, because some of the stories with video components that I sent out today, I mean, that's the beauty of the weekend. You know, you never know what you're going to get, but usually Monday show, we get the pick of the litter for some of the most outrageous videos, right? And we certainly have them today. I want to mention our sponsors. You know, we have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. We also have ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since Cinco de Mayo last year. Also, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, during the live show, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now. And also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So please go there and check them out. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com and our very own Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Here are the titles, guys. Our first one is a main topic, so they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. Iran conflict raises domestic and law enforcement threat level across the United States. So we're going to be just giving advice to our cops about keeping your head on a swivel and what to expect. Also, we have a Florida, you know, a lot of these stories are making Florida look bad. Of course, I'm in Florida. Florida prisoner transport deputies X factor leads to handcuffs and a pink slip. That's an interesting story. Rochester police officer fatally shoots a suspect who grabbed an officer's gun during a mental crisis call. Wow, that is some video. Then we've got a body cam showing a Milwaukee officer hanging from a moving truck before a deadly shooting. And then a longtime Monroe County Sheriff's Office sergeant jailed in a timesheet scandal, and a motorcyclist, he flees from police. Well, he's doing 103 miles an hour. Then he ends up hitting an officer that tries to go, you know, 10-15 with him. And now there's a foot chase, and it doesn't end pretty. And there's a lot to talk about with how the officer handled that too. And then lastly, another story with a video component, a domestic violence call that ends in a deadly Phoenix police shooting. So we'll be talking about that as time permits. So if you guys are ready, let's jump to the Iran conflict. You know, that I tell you, I can't wait. Every morning, you know, I read that publication called coffeeandcovid.com. It's written by an attorney in Florida. And he's not one of the, you know, everybody else in Florida is crazy, right, that we cover on our show, but there are some sane people in Florida. So attorney Jeff Childers in Gainesville has the publication coffeeandcovid.com. I read it the first 15 minutes every morning, and I'm usually the smartest guy in the room when it comes up to all these topics, because he covers everything beautifully from multiple, you know, Washington Post, New York Times. It's just amazing. So the Iran conflict raises domestic law enforcement threat level across the United States. And so he covers all this Iran stuff and the political twist on it. But on this, the lawofficer.com, which is run by our own Travis Yates, it talks about the conflict has moved from a foreign policy matter to an active law enforcement concern in the United States. The FBI has been directing counterterrorism teams on the high alert. They've been receiving or getting access to encrypted communications believed to originate in Iran, but it raises concerns about possible activation of sleeper cells and the like here in the United States. And it even touches on that Texas shooting where the attacker had Iranian ideological, you know, symbols. And it kind of goes on from there. And so instead of, you know, going to all the federal alerts and how they've been talking and predicting a lot of the stuff going on, I kind of like to just see what you guys have to say and what your take is on this. How concerned do we need to be? And even if our churches and our synagogues, because I know a lot of cops, whether you're active or retired, are doing like church security or maybe working at a synagogue or something. What does the current climate mean for law enforcement? How much of high alert should we be on? Vaughn, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is a new turn on an old theme. We were talking about this back in, we talk about this all the time relative to the sleeper cells and the activation and the timing of that. We know they've always been here, whether it's cartel sleeper cells or Iranian sleeper cells or any other extremist group sleeper cells. And so, yes, it was predictable that if we're going to start, military operations against Iran, that if they had sleeper cells here, they're going to be on a higher alert, and so should we, right? So that part doesn't surprise me. Now, to your other question, these police officers, they're operating under rules for use of force, right? And those are constitutional rules. The enemy now is not. Of course, our suspects typically don't, but these are very different rules. This is more military style attacks, you can predict. They're probably high frequency, lower body count. But, one of the things we predicted back in the mid-2000s was going to be, they're not going head to head with our military. They're not going to go head to head with our police. They're going to go after school buses. They're going to have to go to schools, churches. They're going to do individual shootings, and they're just going to do so many of them that you can't predict them. You can't hardly catch up. And it's more of a psychological operation, right? And so we know that's coming. This whole thing about don't shoot at moving vehicles. Well, vehicle-borne IEDs and vehicle-borne attacks are part of that playbook. And so police have to start training against that kind of stuff. What are you going to do when it's like active shooters in a mall, right? All the things we've trained for, we now have to understand and take very seriously again. And I think a big component of that we don't talk about enough is how do you educate the public on the reality of what our police officers are going to have to do in order to stop the killing, because this is in highly populated areas and our kids are going to be around. How do you stop the threat when you've got 15 kids surrounding the guy who's doing the shooting? There's no good answer. And our community has to understand that in order for these police to stop the killing, the chance for collateral damage is very high, because they intentionally will do this in places that are highly populated.
Oh, well, I'm still trying. JD, how did they even get over to our country? I mean, it's not like we've had open borders or anything.
No. 2 million gotaways. That's nothing. We don't even know who those guys are. Plus, frankly, down here in Tucson, guys, we had a special line at the airport for illegal aliens. And their ID, you and I had to go get, if you remember, we've had to get an upgraded ID to get on an aircraft, otherwise pay an exorbitant fee. They just simply need their subpoena for a future appearance in some decade hence. We are a suicidal society, and this has become more apparent to me as I get older. You guys, I know you're both youngsters, but let's go back to 9/10/01. All right. I was in Calgary, Canada, talking at a use of force conference, and I was catching a flight out. And we even talked about how Canada had such loose policies for transit that we could get terrorists in the United States. I land in Dallas, where I was at working for LETN and Caliber at that time. We had a crew teaching in San Francisco, and then they hit. 19 terrorists shut this nation down. And as Vaughn just explained, look, an open society like ours is so vulnerable. Schools, churches, malls. But wait, let's go back and remember what we were doing on 9/12, securing our waterways, securing our railroads, securing our transportation, securing large storage facilities for such things as chlorine and other toxic materials. The whole nation, we couldn't fly. We were trying to stop it. And when you sat down and we put together, started doing a counter-terrorist block in our street survival, and we taught that all over the country, and I did that the whole rest of my career there. And what was terrifying is an open society, are you going to sacrifice your freedoms to protect yourself? And what Trump is doing right now is, yes, it is a trigger for the terrorists, but it also, it's choking them off at their root, at their base, at their financial core, which this country financed. So as a law enforcement, quote, expert, whatever that means, squirt under pressure, right, guys? I'm terrified. You know, I have my grandkids, and I only hope my great-grandkids grow up free. The suicidal empathy that I see is here in the liberal Tucson, Arizona. It's insanity. We want to keep the illegal safe. We want to stop the government from protecting us. Meanwhile, we are poking the bear for whatever resources they have left. There's a magazine. Let's just do this. Everyone here, if you're curious, go to Inspire Magazine. It's an Al-Qaeda magazine. They asked in about 2004 for all the Muslims in the United States who were willing to do a jihad, to do a lone wolf actions. And what does the FBI say? Hardest thing to stop there is. So, yeah, I want to echo what Vaughn just said, man. We've been asleep at the wheel. Time to get fired up. Time to be aware and got to educate the American people.
Wow. Well, thanks, guys. You know, you said suicidal empathy, and I say it begins with homicidal empathy. We don't have the support we need on half the population is still sympathizers, right? And supporters. Now, I don't know if it's half the population, but the media certainly is driving that. They don't mind if we die, right? But eventually, whether they're the last to die, it's coming if we don't have a generation of people willing to stand up to it. And I, you know, get your gun, get concealed carry, get trained, recognize those threats, and then be willing to step in. And then we have to have a system willing to support those decisions. And they're going to be ugly. They're going to be imperfect. They're going to be the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we cannot have people hesitating, which doesn't mean to be arbitrary. It means to be trained, right? And there's a lot of great military guys out there doing that type of training right now. And a lot of cops out there can do that type of training. And you're right. You know, I was working police at 9/11. That's exactly what happened. Now we're having overwatch on the water treatment facilities, right? We were watching all the soft targets.
Hold that thought, Vaughn. Commercial break. We'll be right back, guys.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Attorney Vaughn Kleem from Forest Science and also Lieutenant Dave Smith. And we've been talking about the Iran, everything that's going on with Iran and Israel, and what that means for law enforcement here in the States. And I know we went to break. Vaughn Kleem was talking. And you know, Vaughn, you mentioned something about carrying, you know, and before today, this morning, I was qualifying for my LEOSA so I can carry, for the next year. So important to carry. If you guys have the capability to, please, everywhere you go, and keep your head on that swivel. Any final words on that before we move on, guys?
No, I just want to echo what Vaughn said, because we have got to be alert, you guys, and understand. When America panics, it shuts everything down. It's going to be, if we get a major attack, it's going to be amazing. It's as if nobody understood what 9/11 was about.
Yeah, and then just keep in mind, pay attention to who's trying to limit your constitutional right to carry right now. You can see people, while there's simultaneously a hyper alert going out, hyper threat alerts going out, and we need people to be armed and vigilant and prepared and well-trained to respond to that. People are foreign countries are afraid to attack us because there's a gun behind every wheat field, right? Every wheat bushel in America. They know that Americans are armed and that at least half the country is willing to engage in that fight. We simultaneously have politicians in this moment trying to restrict the right to carry. And that's LEOSA rights. Who's fighting the right for off-duty police officers, retired police officers to carry? It's that part goes to your point, Dave, about the suicidal and the homicidal empathy. If it's empathy at all, I'm not sure that it's empathy as much as I won't get in. Neo-Marxism, I think, might be driving a lot of it as well. But
Well, guys, I qualified with my new SIG 365 today, and that is let me tell you, the trigger on that, that's a pretty sweet gun. I used to have a 290, hated the trigger on it, never had a 320, but I don't have to worry about going and shooting with that because that'll shoot by itself. And SIG's not going to like me saying, well, you know, the 320s, that's the gun that supposedly goes off without being touched or whatever. And I've seen enough videos, like it going off in elevators and stuff like that. I've seen enough videos that I find concerning. So I would never own a 320, but anyhow, the 365, they've come out, you know, Tampa, my old agency, they're transitioning. They've got the 320s. They're transitioning, getting rid of it. And they're going with another, they're actually going back with Glock. They looked at SIG. The 365 is a great gun, but I think that the 320 scared a lot of people, especially SIG saying there's nothing wrong with it, caused even more concern for a lot of people. So yeah, there, some people are going to different guns. So. But
that's the only time I ever had an unintentional discharge was with a SIG. And in fairness, I say unintentional discharge. I was always shooting a Glock. And when I was with the military, I had to qualify with CID, their Criminal Investigations Division, because I was their operational attorney. So I had to go through their training. And I go through, but all they had were SIGs. They didn't have Glocks. So the first time I get my hands on a SIG in years, that trigger pull is so much lighter. So during the qualification, I'm on target and that gun goes off and I'm like, I mean, it was an accurate hit. It was qualifying. But I promise you, I did not intend to shoot that gun.
You were in single action mode, weren't you?
At that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it a 226? A 9mm?
Yeah, 226, yeah.
Okay. So that's my favorite gun, my best shooting gun, the P226. But you're right. After you pull the first trigger pull, which is double action, single action after that, and you're right, it is a sweet, if you know, oh my gosh, it's a sweet shooting gun. Wow.
Yeah, do not transition from Glock to SIG without quite a bit of time on that transition process.
Yeah. All right, well, guys, great first topic. Let's roll into the second one that we have here, and then we'll get to some stories with video components. So TampaFP.com, which is the Tampa Free Press, our buddy Brian Burns owns that. Florida prisoner transport deputies X-Factor leased the handcuffs and a pink slip. So this guy named James Kleeman, he's 65 years old, part-time prisoner transport deputy for the Volusia County Sheriff's Office here in Florida. So I know what you're thinking. It's making us look bad. I purposely, because I knew I had you two guys on the show, I was purposely looking for stories that had no Florida relation at all, but I couldn't find any. So here we go down that rabbit hole. This guy finds himself on the wrong side of the law. And here we go. The trouble started on Wednesday morning, and his ex-girlfriend walks into the Volusia County Sheriff's Office and tells detectives that her and this guy, Kleeman, this transport deputy, had dated for 3 years, and then they broke up. Now, I see Dave shaking his head, because we all know what a scorned woman can, the damage they can do, and the information they have, right? They own us, right?
Oh, my God.
So they break up. And she notices a strange pattern, and she says that he keeps showing up wherever she's at. And sometimes he even pulls up in his marked Volusia SO transport van, which is not doing him any favors, right? So suspicious of how he seems to have the knowledge about her whereabouts, she starts looking around. She finds Apple AirTags hidden in her vehicle and in her daughter's vehicle. Her daughter's an adult, but these AirTags dated back all the way to 2025. So she even produced Ring doorbell footage showing him crawling underneath her daughter's car in the middle of the night, supposedly putting an AirTag in. So Kleeman, our deputy, shows up at the DeLand station for the sheriff's office on Wednesday while the victim's actually inside giving her statement to detectives. And they watched as he pulled into the parking lot and pulled directly behind her car and stuff. So when confronted, he admitted to planting the AirTags, and he tried to argue that he wasn't actually following her. The sheriff's office, they ended up arresting him. And he's been with the agency since 2012. He was suspended without pay on Wednesday, but didn't take him long. Thursday, they ended up firing him. He's currently facing charges, and I'm saying these out loud because I want people to think twice before they do something stupid like this, because even with, like, PIs and stuff, they really kind of like tighten up the rules on doing like GPS trackers and everything. He's currently facing charges of stalking, unlawful installation of a tracking device, and he's in the same place he used to transport prisoners to, the Volusia County Branch Jail, and with no bond. He's not getting out anytime soon. And guys, I'm going to have to ask you guys to hold your thoughts on that one, because we're coming up for our second commercial break. But this is going to be something to dive into. And maybe Lieutenant Dave can speak from experience on this. We'll see. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about Compliant Technologies and ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but they've had over 250,000 deployments, no injuries, no deaths. It's an amazing stat. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transition to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove of Compliant Technologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3. The hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com, and make sure you watch the cool videos. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by Lieutenant Dave Smith, a.k.a. J.D. Buck Savage, and also Attorney Von Kleem with Force Science. And we've just been talking about a pretty wild story. We have a Volusia County transport deputy who broke up with his girlfriend, and they were together, what, about 3 years, I think. And she shows up at the Volusia County Sheriff's Office saying that he's been following her. And since they broke up, and she found air tags on her car and in her daughter's car, and she's showing video where it looks like maybe he was attaching some air tags to her daughter's car. And it was, and then he admits to it, of all things. And he's in jail with a no bond hold, the same place he used to transport prisoners to. So we're going to be talking about that. Lieutenant Smith, you want to start us off on that one? And you're muted, so I don't know why I'm not picking up your sound, but.
All right. Sorry. Oh, yeah. The dog started barking. I had to block that. You know, I got the little Chihuahua mix clowns here, but. Yeah, you used the word libido there, and that's it's a break, and then you expected me not to answer, you know. That's the thing. As man, as a species, transitions through different phases. But the one thing that male humans have is that libido issue. And this guy sounds like he was a guy totally obsessed with a female. I mean, he's out there in the middle of the night planting stuff on her car, on security camera. What does that tell you? This guy is obsessed. And again, you're worried about Florida. We just fired a deputy here who was transporting a female, and he just couldn't help but offer her I don't know what he thought. He's not an attorney. I don't know what kind of help he was offering her, but it wasn't help that kept his job. And these are the kind of things that happen. And, you know, we're talking about human beings. We're talking about failed human beings in so many ways. In law enforcement, that's one of the things we always have, is that that issue where we have to keep ourselves disciplined. And that's why one of the things we tell civilians all the time, look, there are crooked cops, and nobody hates a crooked cop worse than a straight, good, normal, healthy American cop. And that's right. We hate to see a crooked cop. We are, it's part of our oath, and we take that seriously. And it's sad, but it's not a Florida problem. It's not a Tucson, Arizona problem. It's a national, it's a human problem. And that's why we have to monitor ourselves. You know, that's why when we sin, we have to punish severely. And again, you know, we do transition, you know, like Dr. Gil Martin says, when you're in the academy, it's cops and citizens and Adam Henrys. And after a few years, it's just cops and Adam Henrys. And then by the time you retire, it's just me in a world full of Adam Henrys, right? And this is that transition that you've got to fight, you know, to keep your optimism and keep your spirit up.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. We would hit that so hard. We had such great training in Topeka, Kansas, because we were right there with the Menninger Institution. They would bring in psychologists early in our training. I had nothing to do with it. They were way ahead of their time. But one of the things that we really focused on, and then I blew this up more in my training later, was recognizing in advance what the temptations are going to be whether it's excessive use of force, whether it's bad language and disrespect, or whether it's fidelity issues, right? And it was, you need internal restraints, have a strong enough why, and you need to have a plan for when you face it. You know, the Bible says flee from immorality. It doesn't say stand there and face it, right? But the other thing was, you have to have external restraints. Battle buddies are going to hold you accountable. And if you want another external restraint, it's the law itself. The last thing we want to subject our friends and family to is the law. Like, let's avoid it before you find yourself where the law is the one that has to be your external restraint. And so that's that humanity side. It's predictable. They're humans. They can be tempted. And sometimes, you know, we say we hate them. One of my FTOs went to prison. I never hated the guy. I understood his story, how he ended up there. And it was an evolution where ultimately he got himself jammed up in gambling and had to make these bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to, but made bad decisions to try to dig out. He was never malevolent. He was never evil. He was never trying to hurt other people. He always thought he could work his way out before anybody got hurt, sort of thing. And they get jammed up. And so, you know, my brother went to prison. I spent time going to visit my brother in prison. Like, the humanity exists, whether these are inmates, prisoners, or cops. But you're right. We're in a profession where no matter how much compassion we have for them, we have to have very little tolerance for it, right? And swift responses to it, even if we don't lose our compassion. Even if we're going to visit the cop in prison for, you know, every month for the rest of his time in prison, so be it. He's going to be in prison.
Yeah. No, good conversation, gentlemen. You know, working a lot of assignments where there was not a lot of supervision, and knowing that we're all, Lieutenant Dave said that we're imperfect, right? We're imperfect beings. And, you know, we all have our weaknesses, and they may be different, but we all have them. So my goal was always to try to get myself out of a position where I might compromise something or might be tempted. Not even if I didn't necessarily think that I would compromise, I was just, whatever I could do to even stay out of that situation was my goal. And that served me pretty well, excuse me, over the years. But yeah, I mean, it can happen to either one of us. I mean, everybody on the show, that damn human component, you know, and we bring it with us everywhere we go. So anything else, gentlemen, or are you ready to cover a story with a video component?
Let's do it.
We can take these out of order, but I think I've got the best one first. So, I mean, you know, arguably the first couple ones are pretty wild. So this first one, Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Rochester Police, thank God we're in New York. Or actually, this is in Minnesota, I guess. Rochester Police Department has released body cam footage from a deadly use of force incident.
Back above me. Okay. I'm not fighting y'all. Y'all fighting breath. Me.
Come on. There you go.
Y'all fighting me. Okay.
Take
y'all
a
fight me.
Walk out.
Do you hear? Y'all way! You don't hear? Y'all way! Don't do that. Oh, God. What the fuck is wrong with y'all, man?
2214 fighting with one.
Come on. He's grabbing my gun!
That happened in March this month, on March the 11th. So we got Cleveland White, 47-year-old. He ended up being killed in the incident after officers and a social worker responded to his home. And they got a call that a guy was experiencing a mental health crisis. And so the video shows the officers that are there. It looked like, I believe, at least two officers and a mental health professional that were there. I mean, really, ideally, just the way you would want it to, if you're going to have a mental health, or you have the option to have a mental health guy there, they were there, right? And so they're talking with White, trying to get him it looks like he had been in the hospital and was cut out. And they're trying to get him to go back. And he's refusing, saying, hey, I'm out of the hospital and my medical hold is over with. And an officer then tells him that, hey, if you're not going to go with us, we're going to have to make you go. And he goes, hey, I'm not fighting y'all. Y'all are fighting with me. And then he starts to yell and scream. He's just on overload at this point, like, get away, you know, and acting erratically. So then they go and they go hands on. And that's when it goes south. And I mean, it looked like, I'm assuming it was a social worker. It looked like everybody just kind of like jumped in, and the fight is on, so much so that even the body cams, you know, the view is distorted because you've got limbs and body parts going all over the place. And during the scuffle, during the fight, you hear a gunshot. And then you hear one of the cops say, "Hey, he's grabbing my gun." And that's what had happened. He had gotten a hold of a gun and pulled the trigger. And then you hear five shots reactive after that. And the bad guy ends up, you know, or the guy in the mental health crisis ends up, you know, getting shot. They slowed down the footage to show what appeared to be a gun in White's hand after the incident. And the cop, after the shooting goes down, he said the gun, he goes, "It's still in my holster. So I suspect it never left, you know, the guy's holster. It must have," but I have questions over what kind of holster he had too. But it was a fatal shot, you know, to the guy having in mental crisis. We got a little over 2 minutes to discuss this. Lieutenant Dave.
You know, this is the thing. Handgun retention has been something as long as I've been in law enforcement, which is 50 plus years now. A certain percentage of law enforcement officers are killed by their own firearm. Handgun retention is something. This is why the advancements we've seen in holsters are fantastic. But even then, when you're in a scuffle like that, that scrum gets really dangerous. And when a bad guy grabs onto the gun and somebody's saying, "He's getting my gun," you know, you don't have a lot of time. The civilian community doesn't understand the exigency or the crisis of that. And of course, that's one of the things our attorneys who protect us, like Yvonne, who come in, you know, they have to explain or teach a jury how much that in that chaos, in that split second, you've got to make a decision. Because if you're wrong, you're dead. If you're wrong, you're in jail, people argue. Yeah, I understand that. But the issue becomes that we have to do what we perceive for our own safety. And I got to just say, you know, I watch this again. There's a chaos to it that finally, and you mentioned this, the cameras really do capture the chaos. And for those who aren't at risk in it, they don't understand the intensity of the chaos and the literally the perceptual narrowing that everybody's going through. And so, folks, I mean, this is a classic case of handgun retention and a bad guy getting killed. You just say, "Well, he's mentally ill. I don't care. Don't go for a gun. Don't go for a gun."
Yeah, I have questions, Vaughn, on how, I mean, the cop said it's still in my holster, which kind of leads me to believe, and I know we're just seconds away, so we're going to go to the commercial break here, but it kind of leaves me, it gives the impression that it never left the holster. But I'm kind of wondering if it did or not. We got 12 seconds commercial break. We're going to cover this with Vaughn Kleem when we come back. Here we go. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And there's some new stuff going on with GunLearn. You know, they're thrilled to announce an exciting new partnership with Smarter Degree. And if you're a certified firearm specialist, and even if you got that certification during the last 5 years, you can now convert that to college credits. Yes, it's true. So Smarter Degrees University Partners Program, whether you're pursuing a new degree or simply looking to maximize the value on your education, the partnership opens a new pathway for academic recognition for your firearm training. And GunLearn, of course, they're the first and only company to offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. And they provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy. And the training is approved by major forensic organizations, by law enforcement agencies, and also firearm manufacturers. And they've been doing this since 1996. And they taught Leos everything they need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Attorney Vaughn Kleem with Force Science and also Lieutenant Dave Smith, a.k.a. J.D. Buck Savage. And we've been talking about Rochester Police, or not just one officer, a group of officers, and a mental health worker that ended up having to fatally shoot a suspect when he grabbed an officer's gun and actually pulled the trigger and the gun went off. Vaughn Kleem.
Yeah, no, you guys, one of the things about watching these videos is to remember that officers are experiencing these events. They're not witnessing them. You can tell the officer's focus of attention. I don't know what he was paying attention to, but it wasn't his eyes were not aligned to his gun. He was actually doing limb control, right? He's doing multiple officer takedown and controls, which is what they're trained to do, right? And the idea of people suffering from or experiencing mental health crisis as somehow supposed to lower your guard. These are the people who have contaminated thinking. They're the hardest people to control. They can be strong. They can be very difficult to communicate with, let alone persuade and de-escalate, right? De-escalate or persuade. So these guys are going hands-on, and all of us who've grappled with gear on know they can take your flashlight. You're in a great jiu-jitsu position. You're in great position of control from a base posture structure alignment position, but that close proximity of grappling allows them to access every part of your weapon system and your handcuffs. So I'd gone through training where we would take each other's flashlights and beat each other over the head with them during grappling or handcuffs, because everyone's thinking about the gun. It's not just the gun. It's your pepper spray, your taser, your weapon, your handcuffs, your flashlight, even your body cam now. And in this case, he got his gun, and it does look like it retained, like it wasn't a weapon retention issue. The gun never came out of its holster, right? But that tugging and pulling when you're grappling, you don't know how, if it's stuck on someone's leg or it's pushing on the ground or someone's hands pulling it. We've had cases where officers believe their gun was being grabbed because their partner during a team tactics, their leg was pressing into it. Well, the guy was on the other side with his head pushed into the suspect's back. All he felt was someone tugging on his gun. So he goes instantly, like, the guy's got my gun, he's got my gun. And when you start to look, when you went back to evaluate the case, it wasn't the case at all. It was his partner who was participating in the grappling match. These are the realities of policing, right? So they couldn't have done this. There's never a zero risk grappling match with cops. It's just not. And this is luckily nobody got hurt in this one, from what I could tell on the officer's side. And then you got to evaluate it just like they did in that recent Minneapolis case. The guy who does the shooting only has the information he has. And if you're in a grappling match and a gun goes off, it is not your first thought to think, oh, but it's still in the holster and nobody got hit. It's your first thought that he has disarmed an officer,
right,
and is now shooting the officer. Whether that proves later to be not the facts is irrelevant under the law. Under the law, it wasn't reasonable to believe, based on the information you possessed, that the guy posed an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury. And it's about apparent threats, not actual threats. So the fact that a gun goes off and no officer's claiming responsibility for it, it's not unreasonable for that other officer to believe that the suspect accessed that firearm or brought his own firearm to the fight and it went off. That's a terrible, terrible reality of policing.
And another reality is Von is talking about this. Every year, law enforcement officers are beat to death. And all you got to do is look at unarmed assailants who've killed officers, and it's four or five officers. So whether a man brings a weapon, how is the media going to report it if you have to shoot a guy like that? Is unarmed man. And that's the problem we fight, is this constant propaganda, which is what it is, against the American law enforcement community. And guys, again, it's why we got to have our attorneys on our side, because it's something we struggle with.
Well, guys, I got one more I want to cover, if it's okay with you. I think we got just enough time to do it. Rumble.com. Again, this is Butters, the channel. This is, you guys are, we're going to run out of time on this one. Body cam, it shows Milwaukee. Now we're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So an officer hanging from a moving truck. This is during a pursuit before deadly shooting.
Mr. Otto, he's in the back. Get out! Get! Fuck! Stop the car!
Get the fuck out!
Fuck! Get out! Shit! You better stop! Huh, stop! Fuck this!
Wow. So, okay, let's get into this. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So Milwaukee police, they released this body cam footage, and it shows what happened. It happened in the city's south side, 10 o'clock in the morning, March the 12th. Wisconsin Department of Corrections says that our bad guy, Otto, was wanted on allegations of assault and strangulation. So police tried to stop Jonathan Otto to arrest him. So we've got, look, we got dash cam. We've got a body cam. I'm going to consolidate it here in my mind here. So what's going on is that we have the officer in the dash cam says that it was his partners on the truck. So apparently these guys, I'm assuming that they were partners and that they split up. The guy on foot is approaching. It almost looks like a flatbed, but it's a truck. And there's two occupants inside of it. One of them is this auto guy that they're looking for assault and strangulation. Guy starts a truck up. Cop jumps up. Cop's by himself. His partner's driving around in a cruiser. He jumps up on the side of the truck. And he's trying to get the guy to stop, get keys, ignition, whatever. And now the fight's going on. Dude starts driving. Well, as he's driving and the cops got his arms through a partially open driver's window, he drives by his partner in the cruiser. The guy says he's on radio. Dude, my freaking, my partner's on the freaking, truck and it's driving away. So now he's pursuing him. But oh my gosh, he said the truck was driving 35 miles an hour, which is BS. There's no way that truck was driving through. And it took our cop. I don't know if the guy's ever run code or ever been in a pursuit before, but oh my gosh, did he not like almost come to a complete stop for every freaking intersection? And he's like the most cautious, careful, driver in a pursuit. If I'm on a truck and I'm worried about getting killed, that is not the guy I want, chasing me down. Right. So anyhow, this goes on and on. He's chasing this guy. And finally our cop that's on the side, he's getting nervous and they're apparently telling him to let go. And he goes, look, I can't let go. They're going too fast. He just can't let go safely. And right or wrong, he's in the position that he's in. And so then he finally says, look, I'm going to shoot you. And then it takes him about 20 seconds. He pulls the gun out. But again, he's trying to hold on to a moving vehicle. And he starts, pushing. I would have put the gun through the window into the cab and stuff. No one grabbed it, even put it in the guy's neck one time. But at some point he pulls the trigger. And they finally slow the truck down and it comes to a stop. And then finally, what, half a minute later, his partner finally catches up with him because he's, stomping in every intersection and stuff. So that's the way this goes down. It looks like the 46-year-old officer had 21 years of experience and he actually was treated for non-fatal injuries. And it was a deadly shooting. So the bad guy, in the cockpit of the truck ended up dying. Gentlemen, we have two open mics and we got a little over 2 minutes to talk. So whoever wants to start us off.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, right now, one of our principles we talk about is never grab into a vehicle. But again, however you end up in a situation like that, now you have to solve the dang problem. And this is a veteran. This isn't a rookie. I don't know who's driving the car chasing him. And like you said, I want you right on my bumper. I want you right there. Be there for me. All right. But the thing is this, folks, I keep thinking back, listening to Vaughn, a great attorney that I always admired, Dale Anderson, once said that, look, if you think, oh, my God, I'm going to die, then you're justified in using deadly force. And I have no doubt this veteran officer was thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to die. And he kept giving that guy every chance, and that's the thing. The danger is when you shoot the driver of a vehicle. Where's the car going? Where's the truck going? I don't know. But this is a situation where it's so easy to say, well, you don't grab a car. I had a good friend on a traffic stop. As the guy drove off, he had had his hand, he went to reach for the keys, and then he just backed out. Well, he had one of those really good military bands, and it hooked in the, back in those days when you had the lock-in mechanism, it grabbed him, away he went. And that was... miraculously it broke at about 20 miles an hour, but it still scuffed the heck out of him. So however you end up there, you got to solve that problem. And you saw how he did.
Yeah. I watched this one earlier and he was going much faster than that. And he was blowing through open intersections. He was going right through stop signs on open intersections. He was clearly driving in a reckless manner that was not just going to kill that officer, was going to kill any of those other drivers. Didn't even touch his brakes. This officer would have been legally justified in deadly force much, much sooner. He worked hard not to shoot this person. And this is what police do frequently, is they save people from the consequences of their own decisions, their bad decisions. They actually work really hard to shoot less people legally there are people who can be shot legally all the time. I do this in classes and I'm like, hey, raise your hands and, you know, be careful you're doing this. But if you've been involved in a shooting in this job, you know, raise your hand if you're comfortable doing that, and hands will go up. And I said, okay, put your hands on. How many of you could have legally shot somebody but didn't? And almost every hand goes up. You know, these cops are working really hard not to shoot people and to reduce the number of lawful shootings in America. There was no question at this point in history whether or not this guy was facing a threat of death or serious bodily injury. I call it the green light for deadly force went on very early. He doesn't need to wait till he gets up to speed, right? Once you're up there, the idea that he has to retreat and jump off and save himself from the danger is not the law. No matter how he ends up there, if you're placing him in death or serious bodily injury, you stop the car.
All right, we'll hold that thought. Hey, Vaughn, thank you so much for being on the show. And also Detective Dave, or Lieutenant Dave Smith, sorry. Goal is compliantechnologies.com, gunlearner.com, on Medicare.life, safeguardrecruiting, and twobells.com. See you guys tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.